My name is John Erling, and today's date is September 22nd, 2011. Neil, would you state your full name, your date of birth, and your present age?
My name is Neil Abernathy McCaleb. I was born on June 30th, 1935. That makes me a little over 76 years old.
We are recording this, by the way, in my home here and office. Where were you born?
Oklahoma City. I was born in a little house just west of May Avenue on 16th Street, 2917 Northwest 16th.
You just say in a little house. We all think in this day and age and future generations are always born in hospitals, but being born in a house was kind of the thing?
In that day and time, I think it was, yes.
This name McCaleb, does that have a story to it?
Well, I guess everybody's name has a story. My antecedents on that side of the family were Scotchmen. They were ran out of Scotland when Bonnie Prince Charles was toppled and the English were systematically exterminating the Highlanders, and they fled to Ireland and from Ireland to Savannah. There were three brothers that landed in Savannah. Two of them stayed in the Piedmont, and one went through the Cumberland Gap and married an Indian woman. And that's the last trace that there is of him. The others have another trace. My McCaleb family was from Tennessee. My dad was born in Arkansas. The McCalebs came west about the time of the Civil War.
Do you know about your grandparents, their names and
yes.
The story there? Maybe you were leading to that, but let's do that about your grandparents.
Okay. On my father's side, my grandfather was named John Bell McCaleb, and my grandmother was named Artie Jean Abernathy. I carry her maiden name as my middle name. On my mother's side, which is the Chickasaw side of my family, my grandmother's name was Nettie Burris. That was her maiden name. She married a white man who came to Indian Territory by the name of William F. Bridges. He got a political appointment as postmaster of the little town of Melbourne. They met in the late 19th century and were married, and then my mother was born. She was the youngest of two children born in 1902.
Are you talking about Indian Territory?
Yes, now? Indian Territory, right. She was allotted under the Dawes Commission Act in 1904 as an infant. And that's how Chickasaws established their citizenship. You have to be a lineal descendant of an enrollee on the Dawes roll. My father was from North Arkansas,
and
Batesville.
His name?
Jesse Burt McCaleb. He was a very intelligent young man. His father was a lawyer. Back then, you didn't study law. You read law with a lawyer. And he became a circuit judge, and he wanted his son. Well, all his sons become lawyers, and two of them did. He sent Dad off to Arkansas University, and when Dad came home, he announced he wanted to be a civil engineer. Dad told me the old judge kind of sniffed and said, "Civil engineers, aren't they itinerant surveyors?" Turned out he was pretty close to right. Dad came to Oklahoma when there were very little paved roads. He started in 1921 with the highway department. In 1925, the map showed there was 5,000 miles in the system, of which 384 were paved. There were no paved roads between Oklahoma City and Tulsa, no paved roads south of Norman. Most of the major rivers of the state had not yet been bridged. So he'd live about 6 months in one place building a bridge and move on to the next project. And he was an itinerant surveyor.
This was in the early 20s. Was the state paying for these roads and bridges back then?
Well, the state and the federal government and the counties. The counties paid a large portion because the state didn't have any money. They didn't pass a gasoline tax until 1922, which was where the state began the penny gas tax to use for the roads. Before that, the feds would put up half the money for the road, the Bureau of Public Roads, and the county commissioners would put up the other half to build a bridge or a significant piece of road. You notice a lot of times road projects today end at the county line. Mm-hmm. That's the heritage of that. There's no reason to stop a road at the county line today, but they've done it that way for 90 years and going to keep on doing it that way, I suppose.
What kind of a person was your father?
He was a private person, almost melancholy as I grew up. My mother passed away when I was 5, so he was a single parent all the time I was growing up till I was 15.
You had other brothers and sisters?
I had 3 siblings, 2 brothers and a sister. I was the youngest. To give you an example of his quiet reserve, I'll call it, got a copy of his college annual from Arkansas University, and they put a little information under each picture. And under his, it simply said, a math shark who never smiles. Don't you like that introduction? Actually, he did have a very good sense of humor, but, you know, he didn't make much public display of his emotions. My mother, on the other hand, who I really never knew, I'm told by my brothers and sister and friends that she was a very exuberant, joyful person. And I suspect that she brought the joy to my dad's life that he had never known. When she passed away early in life, it was just devastating to him.
And her name?
Juanita Zelma Bridges, her maiden name.
And you were 5 years old.
Uh-huh.
And what took her?
Leukemia. She died of leukemia.
Hmm. She was Chickasaw.
Yes.
Three-fourths?
No, she was about a half Chickasaw.
She brought the land into the family then.
Mm-hmm. That's right. My great-grandfather was in the removal. Colbert Ashalatubby Burris came as a young boy of 11 with his widowed mother, Shakota Burris, in the Chickasaw removal in 1837. They settled first in the Foch Moline in what's now LaFleur County and moved southeast around Eagleton, Smithville. But when the Chickasaws bought the western portion of the Choctaw Nation, he moved out to a little town called Stonewall. This was after the Civil War, and it was named for Stonewall Jackson. Old Stonewall. The railroad came through, and it didn't come through the town. It missed the town by a few miles, and they just picked the town up and moved it to the railroad. Then they renamed the little town Frisco in anticipation of the Frisco Railroad coming through, which it never did. He and my grandmother, who was a white woman, are buried there in the Frisco Cemetery side by side. She and her father were, after the Civil War, trying to escape the Civil War still going on in Missouri and all the border raids and everything. They were going to California and passed through the Chickasaw Nation, and he was an educator. My great-grandfather was teaching at this little school for Chickasaw young men called the Collins Institute. He ended up marrying Laura Bradley, who was my great-grandmother, and they had 7 surviving children. He had been married before to a Chickasaw woman, and she died early in life, and they had 2 surviving sons. So we call them the first family and the second family at our family reunions.